It's jumping like crazy, but I'm not even going to worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not going to worry about it. It sounds good every time.
That's a good thing, because if it's too loud.
You're too old.
You said it.
Hey, man.
Hey.
What episode number is this? Do you even know anymore?
87, I think.
87, man.
I know.
Good things happened back in 1987.
What am I going to do for the 100th? What are we going to do for the 100th episode?
Well, what are you going to do? What about us?
Well, yeah, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do for 100th episode?
I said me, because compiled that thing
because you only think about yourself,
because on the 50th episode I compiled all those things.
Yeah, but come on, this is a team.
This is a team effort.
There's no I in team.
There's a me.
Oof.
Isn't there a me in team?
If you switch the letters, switch around, letters around, but that's not what we're gonna do.
There's an am in there.
There's a meat in team.
If you
switch it around, not backwards.
Tam
may it is backwards.
Yeah,
may it. Yeah,
same thing.
Hey, so what do you want to talk about this time,
James? I want to talk about all kinds of things.
Hey, a bunch of random things.
I'm going to talk about random things. Seems like mostly Star Wars.
It's mostly going to be about Star Wars.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry
well,
to those
this
who
is the last one. This is the last episode we're going to record before The Force Awakens. Because
yeah.
2 weeks from tomorrow, we're going to be seeing it. We're not going to record the night before. There's nothing. All we'll be doing is being sitting here jittery thinking about Star Wars.
What are we going to say?
You know?
What would we say? Nothing.
Nothing.
There's a... Boy, okay. Firstly, I want to say my beverage tonight is a Diet Coke caffeine-free.
I saw that on your desk earlier, and I wanted to comment on it.
Yeah.
It's a pointless drink.
It's a pointless drink.
It's completely pointless.
I'd like to make known I didn't buy this.
Yeah.
It got left at my house over Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's completely pointless.
And it's there. It's there in the fridge. Nobody's going to take it. It's there for me to drink.
I drink diet sodas.
And I normally drink water. All day, yeah. So once in a while, okay, fine, I'll take a soda. But I don't remember if I've ever even had diet caffeine-free Coke. What's left? What kind of soda?
There's nothing left. The reason I drink diet sodas is because I don't want all the sugar, but I do want the caffeine.
What if you... Well,
so you take away the caffeine and it's completely pointless.
I guess if you like the taste of Coke...
That's silly. Then go ahead and just drink a Coke.
But we'll see. That's...
Whatever.
If you're drinking so much soda that you're concerned about it, I guess that's a...
Yeah.
But that's an issue unto itself. So I'm gonna try this today. I don't even know. You hear that?
Spraying it everywhere.
That's the sound of boy, I wish this was a normal Coke.
Yeah, it's in a gold can. Making you think you won something. Like you got an award by having that drink.
It's close, but I can taste it's missing.
It's missing
something.
The caffeine. It's not in there.
It's missing the
everything.
It's missing everything.
It's just an empty can.
I'd rather have a ginger ale.
Yeah, but you don't have one of those.
No, I don't. Somebody didn't leave a ginger ale at my house.
Nobody left that. Hey, did you check out that Captain America Civil War trailer?
Yeah, I saw it.
That was hot, man.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was hot.
I think it was cool. I like... We may have talked about it in the last episode. I don't remember what we talked about episode to episode anymore.
I don't think we touched on this last
I don't think
time.
We did, but who knows. It was a good trailer, I thought.
Yeah.
Didn't give away too much.
Yeah.
You got good interactions between the characters. Not a ton of CGI. A lot of practical shots, it looked like. Cool dialogue. It looks like I said to you when I first watched it, it looks like the Captain America will continue to be the best segment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Chris Evans does great as Cap every time.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to continue here. I liked it a lot.
I thought Black Panther looked cool.
I thought it looked real cool.
I recognized him right away, and it was a very quick segment where he was shown.
Yeah, it's weird how that goes, where you can recognize a character in a trailer.
If it's well done, yeah.
If it's well done. It's weird how that goes. You don't need to know who the character is beforehand to be able to recognize him in the trailer.
I know it's Civil War, and so there has to be more than one character, but I really would like to be able to go back and just say, here's this one character, and he's going on an adventure and do that instead of...
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I'm also into the whole, hey, you're kind of piling a lot. But if you think about Civil War, it really boils down to Captain America and Iron Man. The idea of Civil War.
Well, yeah.
It's really those two characters.
Yeah, and that's fine, but...
And so you really can't do that as an Avengers film and put the focus just on those two characters as much. You know?
Well, I'm saying I know it's Civil War, so I understand, but they could have told a different story altogether.
They could have.
But the last Captain America movie, as much as I enjoyed it, really was Scarlet Joe Witch is in there.
Yeah.
And
Scarlet Jovovich.
Falcon Man.
Jovovich.
And all those.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't take away from me enjoying Chris Evans playing Captain America.
Totally.
Because that's still, like you said, it's the linchpin, and it's great. But I feel like they don't know what else to do other than we have to have this huge team assembled every time for every movie.
I get you.
I get you. Just back it up a little bit.
I wish we could get back to having a Cap movie with just Cap, because the first one is still my favorite of the Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. But I think that in this case they're going to do a better job of telling the story than the comics told.
I'm not saying it doesn't look good. It looks good.
I think it looks really good.
It's just...
That's one I'm... If they want to get... It's been a while since I've been
If they
want to
get my attention. If they really want to get me... That's what they have to do.
I understand.
And they don't care about me.
They don't. They have tons of other people they want to get millions of others. I will say this. This is the first time in a while that I've been really tempted to actually go to the movie theaters to watch a superhero movie.
Well, you haven't gone for a while.
I haven't gone for a while to see a superhero movie at the theaters. And this one, I'm like, you know what? I think I would like to see that one in the theater. Because I really like Chris Evans' Cap. And the focus will be more on him in this than, obviously, an Avengers movie or something. And I like Bucky. I think Bucky's a cool character.
Captain Buck.
Or soldier.
Captain Bucky O'Hare.
Yeah. I want to see a Bucky O'Hare film is basically what I'm saying here. You got me. I think that was a really good solid trailer overall.
Yeah.
The Batman vs. Superman trailer also hit last night.
That's out.
And we're going to try and not be negative on this show, so we're not going to talk about that trailer at all.
Was there anything that you liked about the trailer?
I was with it at the beginning when it was Bruce and Clark talking back and forth to each other.
Yeah,
I thought that the interaction between them was pretty solid. I thought that was cool. That's about it.
Okay.
And we're just not going to talk about it anymore after that.
Okay.
I got a PS4 today. PlayStation 4.
Look, if you got a PS, go to the other room.
Hey, come on, man. Just... Don't say a dirty word on the show.
Hey.
PS4, PlayStation 4.
Oh, PlayStation. Oh.
Yeah, I wanted to play Battlefront. The kids wanted to play Battlefront. We kept debating it for forever, and then I went ahead and did it.
You went ahead and did it.
We got the PS4. I've upgraded my gaming system. What can I do?
What else could you do?
What can I do? I have to upgrade it.
Can you play PlayStation 3 games?
I don't know. I think you might be able to, but I don't know for sure, because there was a big announcement. The system that I bought, the Battlefront bundle... It has Battlefront as a download, and then you also have downloads of 4 PlayStation 2 Star Wars games. And everybody's saying that these games aren't, you know, modified for the PS4. They're actually the PlayStation 2 games. So the PlayStation 4 must have some kind of emulator software thing going to be able to play PlayStation 2 games. So it sounds like they're working towards making it backwards compatible for PlayStation 2 games. But I don't know if it's backwards compatible for PS3 games. I don't know. I didn't look into that.
It seems odd to me that they would go back 2 systems.
Maybe it is. I just don't know. Huh. I haven't looked into it that much. I was just like, you know what? I want to play Battlefront. And everybody says the PS4 is a good system.
Trust
my friends.
Put in your PS3 game and see.
Speaking of friends, I got to say that the little discussion we had at the end of the last episode, we were asking for the likes, there were some guys that really, you know, stepped up to the plate.
Some guys did say... Okay.
Joe Younger went crazy and liked every single thing we've ever posted on the Action Features Facebook page.
Yeah.
And I get notifications for every single one of those likes, so I just kept getting notification after notification after notification on my Facebook. Joe Younger likes this photo. Joe Younger likes this post. Joe Younger likes this photo. Joe Younger likes this comment.
Be careful
what
you
ask
for.
It was awesome. And then we also got Chris Henderson. He sent the picture of the like.
The picture of the like.
And Aaron Williams did the same thing. He sent me a picture of the like with the thumbs up picture. Andrew Harvey Mills, he did some liking, and Dustin did some liking. You know, our usual, our A-team of guys did a bunch of liking on there, and it was awesome. It was really cool to see those guys, like, you know what, you want some likes? Here's some likes.
You asked for likes?
You asked for likes?
You want a like?
It doesn't cost me anything. I'm going to hit the like.
I'll tell you what, I got a like for you.
The like button going crazy right now.
I got your like right here.
I got a picture of me doing the like with the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Listen to the show and putting the thumbs up. Man.
I said to James after all of... Our best conversations usually happen at the end of the episodes after people have shut it off.
After they tuned out.
So if you're listening now and it's the first half, I'm telling you.
You know it's not going to be good at the end now.
Funniest stuff, not this episode.
Not this episode, it will be. Don't worry about it this episode.
But in the future, all the funniest stuff happens at the end.
If you're listening to an episode and you're like, this one's not that good.
Just
in all likelihood, the last 5 minutes are going
to be good. Fast
forward
to the last 5 minutes.
If it's good, if you're listening, hey, it's a pretty solid episode. It's a good bet that the last 5 minutes are not going to be very good. Because if we're doing good the whole time, we'll lose steam at the end. If we're doing poor the whole time, we'll get our game together at the end.
Yeah.
You know?
We made a deal with Jor-El that it was going to be one or the other.
It was one of the two. You don't get both.
He didn't want us to overshadow the skincare products.
He doesn't want to...
With a totally good episode.
Exactly. You can't have a totally good one. It's got to have some bad in there, or otherwise he won't sell any product.
That's right.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's all the things...
Oh, there's more stuff.
That I was wanting to talk about.
Oh.
Other than this top five.
Okay.
Oh, we got tons of Star Wars stuff. I figured we'd tag all that together.
Yeah, I guess we should.
Yeah. Is there anything non-Star Wars you want to talk about?
Well, good friend Eric Medor mentioned that Steven Spielberg is not going to recast Indiana Jones.
Spielballs
is not going to recast Indiana Jones.
I saw that too.
Him and Harrison are both wanting to do it. He said before
they've been talking about it. At lots of things, they've been dropping little hints about
it. Keeps popping up.
Yeah,
yeah. And
that's good. I believe in a Steven Spielballs. I can be honest.
I think a Spielballs on his own would come through.
You know, I don't think it's Spielballs' problem. The Crystal Skull, I don't think Spielballs had anything to do with that being
bad. I don't think he wanted to do that.
I don't think he wanted to do that story. And George Lucas was like, well, this is the story we're going to do. And if you and Harrison don't like it, that's just too bad. Maybe I'll stop making movies. Maybe I'll do that if you guys don't want to do this.
This is already trending.
Guess who owns Indiana Jones? That's me. I own Indiana Jones right now. So if you guys want to do Indiana Jones, you're going to do my Crystal Skulls.
Beep, boop, 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 boop. So,
hey, Steven Spielballs, it's me, George Lucas. I was just calling to see if you still want to do an Indiana Jones. If you do, you're going to do my Crystal Skulls. Call me back. That's pretty much how it goes.
That's how it went, yeah.
With George Lucas. That's all it is.
Speaking of George Lucas,
he's a whiner.
He had some sour grapes, it sounded like. He's got a lot of
sour grapes now.
And he said that he was... But there were... some things that I read two things today that were a little bit nice to hear. And one was that he was probably going to see the new Star Wars because
cool.
he just wanted to be able to just enjoy it like everybody else.
That's
what
he said when he first sold it. And I liked that attitude of George. And then it's now become this thing, well, they don't want me involved.
Right. Well, I wonder how much of that has been sort of pumped up because...
I watched him say it.
I'm sure he said it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What was the other thing?
He's also making small independent experimental films, I guess, which, you know what? Do that.
That's what he should be doing. That's what we said last show. He should be doing that.
I support that. If he's going to do that, you know, stretch out a little bit and get creative again, George. Get
that back.
Get some creativity going.
I read something, and I talked to you about it. I don't know if it was from an old interview or what, but he was talking about the Han Solo shooting first thing again.
Yeah, I keep seeing that, and I wondered why that is getting brought up again.
Why is this brought back up? I don't understand that.
That's like a 15-year-old debate now. With this,
his argument still makes no sense that, oh, well, this guy's going to end up marrying Princess Leia. Do you want him to be a cowboy? Yeah, I guess so, but you want him to be John Wayne, so he needs to have morals. So no, he didn't shoot first. What?
No.
That makes no sense. J.J. Abrams, though?
He knows Han shoot first.
He knows Han shot first.
Because
let's
be honest.
Greedo didn't even shoot.
Han knows what Greedo was about.
Greedo was going to kill him. He was telling me flat out he's going to kill him.
Yeah. He said, I've been waiting for this for a long time.
If you're going to get killed by a guy and you got a chance to take a shot, you take the shot.
You don't wait till he shoots first.
You don't wait till he shoots first and try and dodge it with your head in this weird movement.
Not in a galaxy far, far away.
Come on.
Not in a Star Wars.
Greedo had the drop on him. If Greedo would have shot, Han was dead. Greedy man's going to hit him.
Greedy man.
I thought I saw the last you in a bounty world or whatever. What does it say in that episode?
Something like
I think it was a bounty world.
Yeah, bounty world. Yes, I'll bet you have.
Yes, I bet you will.
That's it. Bet you will.
Pew. Oh. He's just hurt. He's not dead.
That's not us.
Not us at all. We're just doing an impersonation of the episode.
It's an impression.
Greet a man. Del Vita Del Toaster, hon.
Del Vita Del Toaster, hon. Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, Star Wars. I love finding those tapes, man.
I just do.
Such a blast. But yeah, JJ, he knows what's up.
JJ knows.
All right, so you got anything else that's not Star Wars?
Not really. Everything I have is Star Wars, but it's
related.
It's related.
Okay. Well, we're going to do the top five, but let's talk about the other Star Wars stuff first.
Okay. What do you have?
There's been a bunch of new TV spots. I just keep on cranking them out. I can't even keep track of which ones have new footage and which ones are different and which ones what. But they all are still keeping the same vibe where it's just giving you little snippets and no major story things, and that's great.
I watched the ones that you showed me. And at this point, it's my cutoff point. I'm not watching anything else that gets put out.
I think I'm with you, man. I think I don't think I want to watch anything else either. We're 2 weeks away now.
Yeah,
I'm starting to get a little worried that something is going to get spoiled.
I'm satisfied. Just
I'm starting to back off on.
I've already seen a couple headlines that have been like, you know, saying things that are suggestive.
Yeah,
come on.
So, I don't want that.
So I'm not watching anything else. I'm not reading anything.
There was a cool picture of Kylo. Did you see that picture of Kylo?
Yeah, I did.
Where he's looking at the Vader helmet. That's cool. Yeah. That's real cool. There's a lot.
It's cool.
That picture's saying a lot. You know what I mean? It's telling you.
Well, you know it's cool.
I know it's real cool.
You know it's cool.
I know it's super cool.
I knew that he had that helmet.
You know it. Somebody was trying to say, now we finally know who has the helmet.
Yeah, I saw that.
You finally know who.
No.
You can't figure this out.
They showed it in the trailer.
It's in the trailer. He's talking to the helmet. All right.
Well.
What else you got?
Well, I got. Let's see. Let's do this one first. I wasn't going to address this at all.
Okay.
Because it doesn't really warrant addressing, except that I've seen it several places now from several different sources.
I know where you're going here.
This accusation of Hollywood's sexism because Carrie Fisher had to lose weight for Star Wars. And many people have pointed this out in public forums. And I even saw an article today where, you know, it just flat out addressed it. Mark Hamill had to lose weight,
too. He did, too. He lost 42 pounds.
And
they said they got him a trainer. They got him a dietitian.
And Mark Hamill, I saw him. He was talking about – he was making a joke about he doesn't eat things that taste good anymore. But he also said that he lacked the motivation before but was wanting to be in shape.
Totally.
And so he's happy to be – he looks great now. He looks better than he's looked in 20 years.
He looks fantastic. I was telling you that today I saw him doing that little Force Force for Change thing where he's wearing a Stormtrooper outfit and he doesn't tell anybody he's Mark Hamill. But him getting into that suit, like he couldn't have done that 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He couldn't have fit a Stormtrooper suit.
No.
And well, I'm sure he feels great about
it. It's not just his body weight, but his face.
Oh, he looks more like alive. Yeah,
he looks more alive. He doesn't look like he's on his way out. And so I haven't really heard anything directly from Carrie Fisher accusing of sexism.
Not at all.
I mean, she made some comments at the get-go about it, and she was being sarcastic or joking about having to.
Everything she says has a hint of sarcasm to it.
Right.
So she's always joking about stuff.
On top of that. All of this was announced over a year ago when all this started filming, all the filming started, and they cast it. Why is it just now being brought up and talked about in this light? I don't understand.
Yeah, I saw the same thing where somebody was saying Star Wars continues its misogynistic view of the future.
Right.
You're just looking for something. You're looking for something to harp on and to fit your agenda.
You put a female lead. Female lead in here. There's a female... ahead of the Stormtroopers, they've been open about saying that they're very much into casting a diverse...
Without a doubt.
You know, so just stop looking for things to complain about for nothing.
You're dying to find something.
Nobody...
Star Wars is hot, and you're looking for some angle on Star Wars to push your agenda.
Right.
And it was so funny because a lot of people see through it. I mean, the main post was, it continues. It was just a string of people saying, you're so stupid. You're just looking for something. Mark Hamill had to lose weight, too. They wanted the original cast to look as close as they could to where we left them off.
Look, this is
for it to make sense.
This is an action-adventure movie in Hollywood, and nobody wants to see if Princess Leia looks like Jabba the Hutt coming in. I'm sorry, but...
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see it. It doesn't work.
To see what we feel the character would look like 30 years past.
And
not what Carrie Fisher looks like 30 years past. We have this view of what we want the characters to look like, and their goal was to try and get them to fit that mold of what we want the characters to look like. Guys have the same deal in films. They want guys to lose weight and get to fit a certain body type, or gain weight.
And they have to gain weight sometimes, too.
It just happens.
And they have to put on muscle, too. It's just...
To fit that character.
Right.
It's not being misogynistic to say, we want these characters to look a certain way for this film.
That's what actors do.
What happens.
They're acting.
It's ridiculous. I was so completely turned off when I was reading that crap.
So let's just cut the BS.
Let's just shut up.
How about
you guys just shut up?
I had to say something about it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's foolish. What you got?
Harrison Ford has seen the film
mm-hmm.
and says it's wonderful.
Yes.
He said the production values are amazing, and he's really excited about the film they're putting out there.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Good.
Hearing him talk about the film I told you this earlier. You don't usually hear a lot of actors talking about, you know, a film once it's completed, like the big name actors like that. So to hear him kind of saying great things about the movie is good to hear. You know, like, he doesn't need money, and
he doesn't need to sell this movie.
Exactly. Really. He doesn't need to do that. He's well past the point of having to sell a movie. And hearing him genuinely excited and happy about the movie is pretty cool.
I think they've probably made their money back on pre-sales. I don't know yet, but
it's made a ton of money so far in advance ticket sales. Yeah.
The pre-sale for
the merchandising and the stuff alone has got to have already made back their production.
Yeah, they could never release this movie and have
and still be okay. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah. Okay. Here's something else. Here's something that I've got.
What
have
you got
there? You want to hear what I got?
What have you got there?
Well, boy. So, I keep seeing this also pop up, how they're auditioning for young Han Solo, and that's fine. I understand that they're going to audition, of
that's
course.
That's what brought Kasdan back, was getting to write a young Han Solo movie.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's cool. So I'm cool with the young that's Han fine. Solo I'm, movie I'm brought cool Kasdan back.
But if you see some of the guys, that the names that keep going around.
That is crazy.
What are you thinking? Okay. Okay.
Draco Malfoy from Harry Potter?
No.
The one dude from Fantastic Four?
Miles Teller. Listen, if Miles Teller is Han Solo,
I'm not seeing it.
I won't see it.
I'm not seeing it.
I don't want to see that dunce.
Get a no-name.
Well, there's somebody who crosses the line here. He straddles the fence. He's a no-name, but he's also has some experience. And it's Anthony Ingruber from Age of Adeline.
He's dead on.
Man, even Harrison Ford, Harrison Ford worked with him and said that he was great. He plays a young Harrison Ford
that's
in
what he does.
Age of Adeline.
Yeah.
He does it very well.
Does it great.
He's the right age.
Your search is over.
This is a no-brainer, and I don't understand if they're just doing this parade to just say, okay, yeah, we're looking fairly. You don't have to be fair about this. You pick the person you want. I haven't even seen his name come up.
Except, I haven't either.
Except
by fans.
Except for fans. Everybody...
I mean, I've not seen the movie. All I've seen is his little test reels where he does his Harrison Ford, which is great.
I've seen pictures from the movie.
I've seen the trailer of the movie, and he looks great in the trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know how good his acting is, per se, and maybe that is the hang-up. Maybe his acting is just not up to par.
It's possible.
But, I mean, if the kid can act, though, then your search is over. He is a young Harrison Ford. It's pretty crazy how close it is.
I still want to see that movie. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, it looks like an interesting concept.
But... maybe he can't act.
Maybe
he
can't act, and that's the issue.
But I hear that he can.
But if but these other guys...
No.
No thanks.
One of them is...
James Franco's brother, Dave Franco? His name is?
Dave Franco.
Dave Franco? Come on, really?
Frank Franco.
Yeah.
The cousin. Their cousin's going to audition.
It's a silly list.
I mean, it's everybody and their mother is
it's everybody in Hollywood.
This. And, I understand... you would want to play Han Solo, I get it, but why even mention somebody like Miles Teller?
Miles Teller, really?
No, I'm sorry.
Is anybody going to buy that he's a young Han Solo? No.
I'm not going to buy that
I'm
he's
not buying that.
An adventure action hero at all.
In this case, it needs to be somebody that actually looks like Harrison Ford, a young Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
That's the only way it's going to work, is if the person can act and it actually looks like a young Harrison Ford. This isn't a case where you dropped different actors into that role... like James Bond or Batman or something like that, where you can get somebody that just looks like anybody else, and it works. We only know Harrison Ford as Han Solo for multiple years and multiple movies now.
Yeah.
So if you want to cast a young version, it's got to look like that character. It's just, that's the way it goes, you know?
Well, we should try and get close. But it seems like they have somebody who is actually there, so... anyway, that's my thoughts on the matter. Disney, quit jerking everybody around.
Yeah,
and,
don't be silly about this.
At least audition this guy. As far as I know, he hasn't even auditioned or been asked.
It's maybe they're worried that it'll be too much of him mimicking Han Solo.
That's possible,
and not so much actually just acting.
That's possible.
You know that
that could be dealt with.
Keaton, I always get back to Michael Keaton stuff. Michael Keaton, when he was doing Batman Returns. He said, to come back as a character, I found myself doing an impersonation of myself and not actually acting. It was just really strange, and it just wasn't working. And so he had to go into it like it was all new, and he was finding this character for the first time. Maybe that's the hang-up with Anthony Gruber, is that they feel like maybe he's doing an impersonation of Harrison Ford's Han Solo and not finding the character himself. Who knows?
Maybe.
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 All right, what else you got? You got anything else?
That's all I have.
All right, so we're now... 2 weeks from the brand new Star Wars film.
Yep. Is this all you have?
That's all I have, too.
All right, we've got a segment to get to.
Oh, yeah.
Before the top five.
That's true, we do.
Okay. So before we get to the top five, a little word from our sponsor. Sulu Complaints.
Captain, I need you to talk to Chekov for me. He keeps sneaking into my room and opening up my aquarium and placing marshmallows in front of my hermit crabs. They don't like it. Keeps them in their shells.
Sulu Complaints.
There it is.
Okay.
Thanks, Sulu. Okay, so we wanted to do a top five. And it's something we haven't done before, but we've done something similar. I think we did a top five movie moments.
We did do that.
But we wanted to do one that was just on Star Wars. Kind of looking back at the other films and going, you know, these were the moments that really hit home for us and kind of the ones that, you know, still give you chills or you're excited to see it when you watch a movie. Just like scenes that are pretty perfect looking back at it. And it can cover all six films.
It can. If you want.
If you wanted to. So if you want to post your own list after you get this done, don't feel like you're limited to the classic trilogy. If you like a scene from the prequels and you want to fit it in the top five.
We will not ridicule you.
Chronicles of Ridicule.
I was trying to go there myself.
Vin Diesel, my favorite actor in Chronicles of Ridicule.
He's the only one, you know.
It's the only actor. That's a one-man show there, the movie.
Vin Diesel's perfect as the Chronicle of Ridicule. He's really made that role his own. He stepped right into the shoes of Chronicle of Ridicule like they were made for him.
They were. Shoes were made for him.
The character's not named Chronicle of Ridicule. Right.
People ask me my top five Vin Diesel roles. I say I only need one. It's Chronicle of Ridicule.
Nobody asked that.
Chronicles of Riddick 1. Chronicles of Riddick 2. The Blackout. Chronicles of Riddick 3. Black Storm. Chronicles of Riddick 4. The Black Sandstorm. And my number 5 movie of all time is the DVD the DVD special feature of the documentary of the making of Chronicles of Riddick 1. Everybody's waiting for a new Star World. I'm just sitting here waiting for a new Chronicle of Riddick U.
Okay. A lot of Sulu this time.
Yeah, he's got his tastes. He has a very particular...
He's got his ear to the ground. He hears somebody mention Chronicles of Riddick. He's in there.
He has particular tastes, yeah. And he likes to watch. You know what that's from?
It's from,
His particular tastes, and he likes to watch.
Oh, what is that? 50 Shades of Grey? What is that?
No.
hang on. What is that?
Nate,
I don't know.
Nate knows.
I don't remember it.
Nate knows. I just watched this with Nate over the weekend. Not that that well, it is a clue to you, because you don't know. It's True Lies.
Okay, that's what it is.
Tom Arnold is great in True Lies.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Tom Arnold.
Okay, so we're going to do a top five moments of the Star Wars trilogies. If you want to do the prequels, you're welcome to, but our lists only have classic trilogy moments on it, right?
Oh, you don't know. I might have a...
I know it doesn't. I know it doesn't. Oh. I have five and an honorable mention. Do I do the honorable mention first or wait until the end?
We usually save those till last.
Okay. You want to start it off?
Yeah. Number five. I'm a little bit lax with the definition of scene.
Yeah.
But I certainly want it to be more than just one moment.
I agree.
So, my number five is Han in the Cantina.
From Star Wars?
From Star Wars, the first one. Just his whole deal there. The whole presence, the interaction with Greedo, the flipping the coin, the whole scene.
Yeah.
It just sets up... It's we already talked about him shooting first or not, but it sets up the character and his mood and his nonchalance about, danger and going through these...
It gives you a different type of character for the first time in the film, too, because up until that point you've had, major bad guys and the good guys when you meet Han and Luke, and then you meet this guy that's kind of like... He's in between. Is he bad guy? Is he a good guy? What is he? He's the one that's a mystery. You don't know which side he's going to be on, really.
Yeah.
Great scene.
And well shot, I think. Totally. I like the pan with him walking out and everything. So.
Sorry about the mess. All right, my number five is Yoda lifts the X-Wing out of the swamp.
That's a big moment.
It's a pretty big moment. Music swells. It's your first time seeing the Force... lift something huge and major, up until that point we've seen like the lightsaber come out of the snow
and the rock
and the rocks get moved around a little bit, but this is major, to show that size matters not, like he says, and you get that music and Luke not believing and that is why you fail, all that stuff. It's just a great, well put together scene.
It also solidifies the seriousness of Yoda, because he's still just an old little creature up until that point, and then it's like, no, this guy's for real. He's for real.
You don't even know if that's the top of what he can do. It's just a peek at what he's just telling you, that basically everything is possible. As if you just believe in it, it's a great scene.
If you believe with your Force brain,
your Force brain can do magical things.
Believe in it.
Believe in it.
Believe in your Force brain. Okay, my number four. Is when Luke meets Yoda in Empire Strikes Back. It's a great scene. It kind of catches you off guard a little bit, and it's so funny.
It's great.
I still laugh when Yoda's like,
when he's got his little butt. He's digging.
He's digging for Luke, digging through Luke's stuff and
throwing it around.
And he has the interaction with R2, and he's hitting him with the cane and stuff. It's just such a funny scene, and to think. Yet again, I know we've said it on here, but to do all of that with a puppet and sell it...
Pretty incredible.
Pretty incredible, and it's a memorable one. It's memorable for me.
I can't imagine... looking back now, everybody knows who Yoda is now.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what Yoda can do and the importance of the character. I can't imagine being in that first showing of the film before you knew what Yoda was. You know what I mean? Like, when that... scene was just some weird little green alien, and you didn't know it was Yoda. Like, going into that experience and not knowing that what he's going to end up being, that must have been crazy. Seeing this goofy Muppet character, and then he ends up being this Jedi Master, that can do so many things. Really cool scene.
He is Yoda.
He is Yoda.
You think he's going to lead him to Yoda,
but he is Yoda.
He is Yoda.
All right, my number four is Luke on Tatooine going to try and rescue... Uncle Owen, or Uncle Beru and Aunt Beru, and arriving there and looking around, music swelling, and him going, Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru, and looking around and seeing the burned carcasses, and how he looks down, and then he looks up, and he's looking determined, it's like that switch has been flipped.
His life
has totally changed. There's no going back now. He's now stepping forth on the hero journey, you know, and you see him from behind, and the wind's blowing on him and stuff. It's a moment where, he says Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, but it's silence when he sees them and looks. But there's so much that scene just hits home. And I still get chills when I see that scene when he looks up and stuff. It's great. Great scene.
It is a great scene. I have to admit that I forget about it.
Yeah.
All the time.
It seems like A New Hope kind of does have a lot of that, where it gets kind of forgotten in certain
It's my
aspects.
Least watched Star Wars movie.
Me too.
I've seen it a lot, but...
But there are some hit home moments in that,
definitely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Number three for me is the speeder bike chase on Endor.
Hey, that's a great one.
Return of the Jedi.
I don't have that on my list, but it's
great. The whole chase from the get-go, where the first speeder bike takes off.
Whoa. Incredibly smartly filmed, too.
Whoa. Yeah.
Just a genius idea to just walk through and then just play it back.
And a good effect.
At a high speed.
And this is where I cheated a little bit, because I think there are some... Well, it goes uncut for a while. I don't mean without cuts, but I mean without cutting to something else.
Oh, I don't mind cuts.
Yeah.
I don't mind cuts.
But I think of it as a whole. Everything from, you know, Luke jumping onto his own speeder and the fight that happens there, all the way up to where he cuts off the end of,
oh, man,
of the speeder bike with the lightsaber.
You're seeing Luke have some real skills at this point. You know, like,
yeah, he's taking care of business.
We saw what he could do at Jabba's palace, you know, on the sail barges and all that stuff. Yeah. But it was really a matter of just jumping around and swinging your lightsaber and those type of things.
Hey, that's not easy.
Ordinary fighting. No, it's not. But to see what he does here, where that speeder bike is moving fast and he's able to chop off the front of it with just like confidence. Like when he lights up that saber,
yeah,
it's just,
once again,
he's a Jedi now.
Limited lightsaber use. I mean, it had been quite a long period of time, mm-hmm, in the film in between lightsaber usage.
After he gets done with it, he turns it back off. He doesn't sit there and walk around with his lightsaber on.
Right. You know, and, you know,
I did what I needed to do, turn it back off.
You didn't do a flip or anything.
I'm not going to do crazy flips or spin it around my back or anything like that.
But anyway, that's one that stuck with me. And even as a kid, I had, like, I probably memorized each cue, like, musically and the sound, mm-hmm, of the speeder bike, and I could listen to it and tell you what's happening, probably.
So. Great scene.
Oh, great scene.
Cool vehicles and cool trooper designs, too.
Yes.
You know, my speeder bikes were
my
a really
favorite
neat vehicle, and the Scout Trooper was a cool look.
I think
look.
The Scout Trooper is my favorite.
They are really cool looking.
Empire.
Really, really cool looking.
Design.
All right, my number three is...
An Empire world.
Vader reveals he is a Luke's father.
Mm. Big scene.
Big scene.
It's
a lot
impossible
going on. It's, again, same with the Yoda thing. I can't imagine being there the first time seeing that, like going into without the knowledge. You see all these videos online where parents let their kids see it for the first time and they're blown away when Vader reveals who it is. Man, what a twist. Well acted. I love the backstory to it, too, where... They didn't tell anybody on set. It was George Lucas, Irvin Kershner, and Mark Hamill that knew what was really happening and what the scene was really about.
At the last minute, too, right? I mean,
yeah, they pulled him aside right before, and they said, look, this is what he thinks is going on, and this is what he's going to say. What he's actually going to be saying is that he is your father, and you need to react to that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And to keep that under wraps and not have it get out there, it's just, man... And the scene itself is just looks great. I mean, the setting.
Yeah, it's very.
It looks so real. I know they're on a set, but it looks so real. Like, everything about it looks great.
It's very big and dark, too, which makes Luke seem smaller. I mean, he's at the smallest moment of his life. He just lost his hand and everything, and it really adds to that.
Yeah.
To shrink him down, to have this large, vast space that's mechanical, and it seems to be Vader seems at home there, and Luke is just way out of his element.
And I love that it's you know, at first, when they first start fighting, they're in this big freezing chamber, and then they're it's like getting smaller and smaller. He gets knocked out the window, and now they're in this tiny little gantry, and it's just like he's like a rat, you know, getting caught into this at the end of this maze or something, where it's he's got nowhere else to go. He's barely hanging on. He's got to get off the catwalk and hang off this thing. He's just trying to get away, and it's just like, please no. You know, like, it's just, he can't go any further. And yet still, and I hate the change in the special editions, the confidence he has where Vader has now told him who he is and says, you know, you have no choice but to join me, and together we're going to rule, that look of confidence where he looks down, and he knows he's not going to survive.
He's got a choice.
Or at least he thinks he's not going to survive, in all likelihood, this fall. And he just lets go, and he just like, you know, I'll just let it take me. This is all I can do. I hate that they added that scream.
Yeah, you wouldn't scream.
He wouldn't scream. He's already had the confidence to make this choice. Like, I'll make the jump, and then whatever happens, happens.
He chose it.
He chose that. It's not like he fell and...
Yeah, it wasn't an accident.
It's silly. That's such a silly change.
Yeah.
It really ruins the moment of that scene for them to add that in there. And then the look of Vader's kind of defeat when he makes the jump, where it's just like, oh.
Well, I didn't see that happen.
Yeah,
that's coming.
That's a shame. Yeah, great scene. Really great scene.
All right. What's that? Number?
That was my number three, so you're on number two.
Boy. Number two is Han and Leia on the Falcon, Empire Strikes Back, the kiss.
Hey, that's good.
That's, I mean, I'm trying to think of...
Getting a little romantic here.
Getting a little romantic.
You're getting a little bit of romance going on the show today.
Romance going.
I didn't think you'd do it.
You knew I couldn't do it.
I knew you. I didn't know for sure if you'd be going to do it or not.
Yeah. just the interaction between those two during the whole film, really, but in that scene in particular, Carrie Fisher, I mean, Harrison Ford is great in that scene, but Carrie Fisher really, 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 really sells this reluctance that she has to give in, and then finally giving in, and then it's interrupted by 3PO, which is a nice segue into everything else that has to happen. It's not just like they didn't just fade from it. Everything leading up to every line in there, my hands are dirty, too, what are you afraid of? It's that is not sci-fi filmmaking. That's filmmaking at its finest, and that's storytelling, I think.
The way it kind of pulls in, too, on them, you know, that's really close to
it's
their
It's real
their
slow. And it also shows Leia, well, getting her hands dirty, literally. And she's involved in fixing things on the Falcon, too. And there's a lot said. There's a lot said in that short little scene there. And it's a quiet, intimate moment and otherwise, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot going on outside. They're in the cave, and they're still on the run.
This is
and
no
they're,
cave.
They're escaping, and it's kind of, you know, it's really kind of fast paced. The whole movie is up until that point.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of
brings it back.
A nice calm little spot, and
good one, man. Good pick.
Yeah,
mine kind of follows with that. My number two is the carbonite freezing sequence.
I almost put that.
You know, we're you know, seeing Han being taken from everybody. We're the heroes at their low point. You think that maybe Luke is going to come save the day just in time, but it's not happening.
Yeah.
Han is pulled aside from everybody else, and you get the great exchange between them. The "I love you, I know." The looks between the two characters are just saying so much. It's like you said with their acting in that last scene. It's great here too, without anything being said. The way that Leia is looking at Vader, that they take time to show that interactions between Vader and Fett, and just the music building and him going down and the scene and how he's brought back up and the way he looks in the carbonite, where he's like got this tormented.
That's the first time you see. You didn't know what carbonite.
You didn't know what that was going to be like. You don't know if Han survived it until he comes out and they check on it. It's a man, what a moment! And just like
great set design.
That's it.
Too,
that's it for Han.
Right.
You don't know for sure the rest of the movie. There's no Han. You don't know if Han's going to come back. You don't know.
I was going to say it's a pretty bold ending.
It really is
for a
for
movie
that character. Because
for the movie in general is a downer, and you know you're banking on getting that third movie out.
Yeah, it really is a great moment. A lot of times, you know, in movies, you think hero's going to save the day. It's coming towards the end of the movie. The hero's going to save the day. And Luke does not save the day. Like, it's not...
Mm-mm.
Luke does not show up in time to really help anything. He gets himself in big
trouble. He has to get rescued.
He has to get rescued at the end. He doesn't do any saving. It's a real flip on the usual movie formula of the way it's supposed to work, where good guys beat the bad guys, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what Empire's all about. It's the second act of the play, and so the bad guys kind of win and puts the heroes at the worst possible position, and this scene is perfect for it.
Yeah. You know? That's your number two?
It's my number two.
Wow. All right, so my number one, I think everybody knows, at least some people do. My number one is the final duel between Luke and Vader. Between Luke...
That is also my number one.
Between Luke and Worldbreaker.
Yeah, the Luke and Worldbreaker fight at the end of Return of the Jedi. We can both talk about this because this is my number one as well.
I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And, once again, there are several cutaways to other things during this happening, but I never think about those things. I always think of it as a linear everything that happens. And the cutaways even actually help to intensify this fight, because you cut away to the battle that's going on, and then you cut back, and it's somewhere during the fight, Luke has gotten away from Vader, and he's hiding.
Yeah.
And he's in the dark, and just the rhythm is all there, everything to the crescendo. From the moment Luke flips around and gets his lightsaber and gives in a little bit to the very end of it. I mean, when he cuts off Vader's hand is...
It's so good because it keeps just building, where Luke has... He has to do this. Like, something is telling him that there's good in Vader, and he has to go do it. And he tries to talk to him on the thing where they bring him in at first, and that doesn't work. And he's like, okay, well, then I guess my father's truly dead. And then he goes up to the thing, and he thinks that somehow, you know, the Emperor's mistaken, and that they're all going to, the heroes are going to win, and then he finds out that's not going to work. And it's just like, things just keep hitting Luke, like, this isn't going how I thought this was going to go. Like, what my feelings were telling me this was going to go. Like, the Force was...
And the Emperor's tempting him the whole time, too. And so he's resisting that just for the sake of resisting.
And he's still in the back of his mind is thinking, isn't Vader supposed to turn?
Right.
And to him to go off and hide at that point, like, there's nothing else, like... He's got to have a moment to think the whole thing through and figure out why this isn't going the way maybe he is supposed to give in. Maybe Vader isn't going to be able to be saved. Yeah. Maybe this is the only way. So to have that character kind of retreat and hide for a moment is really cool and really interesting the way the scene is played with the Vader coming out. Vader's actually, I think we may have talked about this before, but Vader actually has his saber during that scene. They've cut bits of it. Vader's actually carrying around. I don't know how he has it at that point, but Vader has Luke's saber when he's in there looking for him. And when he calls out the sister thing, Luke pulls it to him with the Force and lights it up.
Oh, that's not in the movie.
It's there. You can see him holding it, but there's nothing that tells you. They've cut out the scenes where Vader gets the saber.
You can't see Luke pull it to him, really.
You can see him light it up, but pull towards him before that. Which I don't know why they cut it that way. Why they took that part out?
Maybe the part where he loses it was not filmed
wasn't
well
working or something.
Yeah,
and they cut it so that you don't even notice that Vader has his saber at that point.
I'll look for that.
But I love how fired up he gets when he mentions Leia. There's a
dramatic difference between Luke in Empire Strikes Back and Luke in this fight. He's kind of showboating in Empire Strikes Back. He's just learned all these new moves and how to use the Force a little bit.
You see those flips I did?
Yeah. They were pretty impressive. in this one, it's just, okay, we're going at this. You're not taking my sister, you know?
Yeah. Up at this point in this fight, he's kind of just kind of kept Vader at bay.
Right.
He's done the flips to stay out of his way and blocked his hits here and there. But he obviously doesn't want to fight Vader. Like, his whole point in going there... Yeah. Is to turn Vader, not to fight him.
Right.
But at that point where it's like all this stuff has come crumbling down on him, to then hear that Leia is in danger, that's it.
He's like,
okay, I'm going to take the fight to you. Then.
Okay,
if you're going to come after her, then that's it. That's the last straw. And man, I get chills even thinking about it.
Yeah.
The way that music is going and the way he's fighting him.
The score is incredible at that point.
It's so good, man. It's so well filmed. Just the set is perfect. The lighting's perfect.
The silhouettes
amazing.
Of them moving slowly through the... Through the corridors, as
the
Luke
angles
is
of the camera, too.
Hammering away, really, and Vader, to see Vader get to this point now where he's, you know, he's very. I'm losing the words here. He's weak.
Yeah, he's been overcome.
I mean, he's...
like the strength of Luke is too much for him now.
And then you have the whole
juxtaposition,
the irony of the hands and losing the hands. And,
yeah.
It's the pinnacle of the film. When I think of Jedi, that's what I think about.
When I think of Star Wars in general, that's the first scene that comes to my mind.
Yeah, I think for me too.
And the way Luke is kind of, you know, he's like the spit's almost coming out of his mouth, like he's kind of trembling almost when he's seeing the hand and he's got Vader where he wants him.
Oh, he's been going at it.
And then to hear the Emperor and what he's saying, Luke's choice. It's like. It's the hero moment, man, where he throws that lightsaber aside, and he's like, nope, I'm never going to turn. That's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, I even, like I'm saying, like just hearing it and thinking about it when he's saying, I'm a Jedi, like my father before me. It's a chill moment, man. It's just like, wow, that's what a hero is right there. You know, all these movies have built up to this moment of Luke where he cannot be turned, like where he is...
Right.
He'll die rather than turn. Where his father turned... He won't. There's no turning Luke.
And still having the respect intact for what his father was.
Yeah.
You know, reverence.
That's what he wants to remember his father as, not this thing that's down there on the floor now.
It's overcoming evil at every turn, in any way. He's not allowing for any little bit of, you know, oh, yes, well, I'm dark in this. he's made his decision and he throws his lightsaber away, and it's a
great moment.
It's a great moment.
I challenge anybody to watch that scene and not be like, not have an emotional attachment to it.
Take the Jedi challenge.
It's amazing. It's just such an amazing scene. And you know, a lot of people that I hear that love the prequels criticize the lightsaber fights of the old movies. I don't see how you can criticize that fight. There's so much power in that fight.
I could see if you're going to watch Obi-Wan and Vader in the first movie, you know?
Yeah.
Without any nostalgia or respect for like how movies were made at the time, if you're used to all this flashiness, you could say, oh, that's kind of weak. I could see that.
I could maybe see that.
But
there's no challenge in that fight.
Not that fight. Not the Empire fight, even, I think still holds up really well. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of, you know...
That's why, forgot to mention this one, but J.J. talked about the lightsaber duels, and the new movies will be more aggressive and less slick like the prequels. And that's this fight is the definition of an aggressive lightsaber fight, where it's not that they're wanting to hit each other's lightsabers, it's that they're wanting to kill each other. Like,
right.
And it's a matter of stopping somebody from killing you, and not so much, I'm going to hit your lightsaber on the side, and I'm going to hit your lightsaber on the side, I'm going to hit your lightsaber down here, and I want to hit your lightsaber over here. It's
watch me spin.
I'm going to try and chop you in half, and you got to try and stop it. So I hope that the lightsabers in this new film, lightsaber duels, really are more like that.
Lifesavers.
Where it's like the cherry lifesaver, yeah. Or like the green one. Yeah. You know,
the lime.
Not that weird whitish-colored one. I don't really like that one that much.
You don't
much.
Like the white lightsaber?
I don't like it very much.
Why not? It's pina colada.
I don't like it. I got to be honest. Hmm. I don't...
I'm surprised.
That one comes up, and I'm like, I don't want that one.
I'm surprised. You can give me all your whites.
I'll do it, man. I'll put them in a baggie. I'll save them for you. Every time I have lifesavers.
Every time you have lifesavers. Are people buying lifesavers still?
I think they are. I think they're interested in the gummy kind now.
Yeah.
They're more interested in that than that came along.
Yeah, I see that. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so do you have any honorable mentions?
I do.
I do, too.
I do. One would be when Han shows up at the table on Cloud City.
That's real cool.
And he shoots immediately. It's a short scene, but man, Han is...
He's ready, man.
Han is ready.
He's super ready.
He doesn't think
that's
about
it. That's reflexes right there for
yeah,
Han.
Yeah, it's all in the reflexes.
He's ready.
And he just goes for it, and...
he might get a lucky shot, you know?
And the thing is, the setting also doesn't suggest any of that, because it's all white, it's all clean, there's a dinner table set up, and it's, you know... I don't know if you really suspect. I mean, you kind of suspect Lando a little bit, but it's a surprise. His reaction time is very surprising to me. So that was on Nate's list, and I had forgotten about it.
Oh, really?
That I said, ah, man.
It is a great shot.
I was racking great my brain scene. Trying to, because there's so many.
Oh, there's tons where I kept having to edit it out. Like, ah, well, I've got this kind of scene. I don't really. Like the Bespin-Luke Vader fight.
Right.
I really like that fight, but the fight in Jedi is better, so I don't want to put both of those fights on there.
Yeah,
I can't just put every fight scene. The reveal scene of that.
Yeah.
One of my other mentions is the introduction to bounty hunters in Empire Strikes Back. For the same reason that the Han scene is so cool in Star Wars, where it introduces a new kind of character, the introduction of these bounty hunters, this kind of motley crew of guys with all these different kind of shapes and styles and all that, that Vader needs to find the Falcon, where he's not trusting his own Empire guys, where he's called in these outside group, to me it was really a cool, different moment. Mm. Something just add a little variety to the films instead of just, here's your Empire bad guys and here's your Rebel good guys.
Right.
And they all look so cool, man.
Jetpack man. I see you have a jetpack.
Your notorious crew of nameless bounty hunters. Sounds good. Yes, it does sound good.
Thanks to his jetpack. I don't have any other specific honorable mention I can think of except anything involving the Emperor.
Yeah.
And there was no scene with him except for leading up to the duel. That was really, really pertinent. So it didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
But whenever he's on, I'm really paying attention. I mean,
super evil,
because they got the perfect score goes with him. He's got like his own theme, and it's the chanting going on in the background. And when he first arrives, they're just slowly panning down this long landing platform, just. Rows and rows and rows of white stormtroopers with the red and royal guards and the black environment, and it's just those three colors go together all the time, and it just says, man, this dude's important.
And he's so, like, he's such a contrast to Vader, because Vader's this big guy in this suit, and right. he's huge, and he looks powerful. And then you got this guy that's almost sickly looking, and he's all right. kind of hunched over. But he's the guy that Vader's answering to, that Vader's scared of. So it's telling you, man, this guy's...
He's commanding. And Ian McDiarmid?
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. I mean,
it's crazy. I've been talking to the kids about this lately. Yeah. What you're saying about
no,
it?
No, you go ahead.
The we watched we were watching some prequel stuff, like something about the Chancellor.
Bad Father.
And we were watching the full movies. Bad Father. Well, we did watch the full movies, I gotta be honest, because we were watching them all in anticipation of the movie. But Blaze was saying, is that the same guy that plays the Emperor in Return of the Jedi? And I'm like, yeah, it's the same guy. They got the same guy back to do that. And he's like, why is he so much worse in these? Yeah. Like, why is it? Why is it so much worse? It's like he's not even doing anything that's similar to what he did in Return of the Jedi. I'm like, well, I don't think it's... He's like, is he a bad actor? And he was just like, lucky then? I'm like, I don't think that's it at all. I think the guy is a great actor.
Yeah.
I just think that the directing and the writing was so poor that that's what George wanted out of him. And so that's what he got out of him.
He got what he... You know, he got that's out of it wanted. What he put into it. And
yeah. Those Emperor faces, those fight faces during Revenge of the Sith, those faces he's making... are comical.
It was comical.
It's just, it's
didn't
silly.
Didn't somebody put a video
together?
They did.
There's a YouTube video of just Palpatine's facial expressions during the fight.
Yeah.
They're silly looking. And it's a disservice to the character in Return of the Jedi that this is what you're seeing, that he's come from. He's much better played. I've been watching the Clone Wars cartoon, and he's great in the Clone Wars cartoon.
Oh, is he voicing?
He's not. No. I'm just saying the character himself and where you see he goes and... it's much, much better than he was ever played in the prequels. It's crazy to think it's the same guy because it's such a... And the makeup!
It's bad.
It's so bad in Revenge of the Sith. Why not just make him look like he looks like in Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
What is going on?
I think there's overcompensation to make him look
totally.
Like, let's make him look like a younger version of the older version.
Don't do that.
And just
don't do that. Just make him look like the Emperor.
Well, part of it too, when he looks like Bram Stoker's Dracula when he gets turned.
Yeah.
And his forehead goes up like
the Jedi are taking over.
Yeah,
that's what he says.
I mean, he looks like a butthead.
He looks like a butthole.
He looks like the alien.
Butthead.
Looks like the alien from
Alien Butthead
from This Island Earth, I think.
Yeah.
The big brain.
Yeah.
He's got a skull brain sticking out. He looked
cool.
What
do you know? Your brain's falling out.
He looks cool.
Your prior Star Wars bar.
That's right. He looked cool in Jedi because he had the cloak and everything.
Yeah.
And there's a certain mystery that needs to be taking place with the Emperor. And when you just lay it all out on the table...
It's not cool.
It's not cool.
It's not cool at all.
And that's the problem with the prequels overall, I think, is just not pulling back anywhere.
Here's everything. Here's how everything works.
Just put everything out on the table. Here it all is.
Like I said, though, I have been watching Clone Wars.
Yeah,
I watched it off and on. And I've said before that I think the show is pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like the original movie thing they did, but I've been plowing through the show now. I was hoping to finish off all the show before Force Awakens, and I'm almost on season 5 now, and it's a great show. It really is great. Like I understand why people were so hyped up about it now. It's so much better than the prequels themselves. Like every episode, I feel, is a better movie than the prequels were altogether.
Yeah.
And if you like the prequels, that's fine. You're welcome to like whatever you want. This is just our opinions. I'm not saying you have to agree with it. You know?
You don't have to.
You don't have to agree. If you want to like the Batman vs. Superman trailer, that's great. I'm glad you liked it.
We're all glad you liked it.
We're glad that you liked it. Go ahead and like it. But go ahead and like the Facebook page, too. Okay. If you're liking things like the Batman vs. Superman trailer... If you're going to like something, then go like the page.
Like this episode.
Like this episode.
When it
Put
comes
a thumbs up,
up
on
when
it.
It comes up, click that little
click
thumbs
that
up.
Thumbs up, man, click it. All right, so that about covers everything, right?
Yes, it does.
All right, so that's it, man. This is the last one. Then we're gonna watch 2 weeks. We're gonna see Star Wars.
Okay.
And we'll do like an episode maybe early on that next week.
Yeah.
So we can talk about it. We'll sign off for now. Right. That's it.
Hold on.
Get that music queued up, man.
It takes a second.
I hope you get it done soon.
I don't know if I will. It's my phone, it's not me. It's not my fault. All right, this has been James and Mike. What? Did you catch the Star Wars reference I just did? Okay, this has been James and Mike with Action Features, if you care.
Yeah, right.
If James cares.
Like, the last 5 minutes of this was any good. Nope.
Yeah, right.
This is not one of the ones where you got funnier at the last 5 minutes.
Not at all.
Nope.
See what you're trying to do? You're trying to be funny right now.
I'm not trying to be funny right now. I'm trying to let people know that I warned you in advance this is not going to be funny at the end.
Trying to get a laugh.
Yeah, right. If I wanted to laugh, I'd look at you in the mirror.
Am I standing behind you in this scenario?
making googly eyes.
It's been James and Mike in the mirror with Action Features.
Looking back at you.
Right back at you.